Lot to talk about with Eric Semmel from Tab Computers. Of course, Computer Talk with Tab, 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturdays. Tech Tuesday here on WTIC News Talk 1080. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm good. How are you, sir?
Good. You gave me a couple of topics that make my head spin. So I'm going to start with, I mean, I just used artificial intelligence maybe like for, I've never used ChatGPT. I need to, but I used AI to search something. Well, Google now, if you do a Google search, it'll give you its AI response at the top of the search now.
Right.
I did it for, I'm trying to find out if Deadpool was immortal. But it's neither here nor there. So model collapse with AI, yeah. Is that sort of like, there could be some sort of feedback loop, and then it just goes in circles and circles. Can you explain what it is and what it, why it matters?
I think I can. Yeah, I think I can. So this is kind of some new studies that have been put out by some researchers. This one was published in Nature. And they're noticing that machine learning that learns from other machines is kind of eating itself. It's going to produce worse and worse and worse results, and to the end point where the model will collapse. One of the examples they gave was trying to a picture of a dog, and AI will pick not the most obscure dog. They'll pick the most common dog, and before you know it, every dog looks like a golden retriever, and then before you know it, all dogs don't even look like dogs anymore, because the model just keeps recursively looking at the same data output from other AI models. So what's happening is everyone was so excited about AI. NVIDIA goes crazy. All these stocks go crazy. It just reminded me of the dot-com bubble. I hear the internet's going to be a thing, 1999. It is going to be a thing, but really 20 years later. And here with AI, we may have jumped the gun a little bit on the problems of the output. And of course, when people are using the AI, the results they're getting, if their results are coming from other AI models, you really may not be able to take the results all the way through. You're going to miss a lot of nuance. You're going to miss a lot of detail. And that's a big flaw in AI. And AI has to get smarter about not looking at other AI output.
So is this just going to end up being like a programming evolution that they have to figure out?
Well, and that's the thing, right? Yes, it's a programming evolution. And if you look at what happened a couple Fridays ago with programming of a simple operating system that's been running for 30 years, I think we have a long way to go. If we can't get operating systems right, how are these same people going to get AI right? Maybe I'm a little jaded because of just the industry I'm in, but I was hoping we were better than this, and these model collapse inevitabilities kind of show that, of course, we're not. And the programmers are going to have to tag output as AI output so that other AIs then look at it and say, well, I can't use that output. That was created by, Bob's AI. I need to make sure I look at fresh content. And then where are you going to find the fresh content? Well, you and me, Brian, is where they're going to find the fresh content. So every time we type something in the cloud, these companies are going to want to try to scrape it, right, to keep that fresh content. So it's really us who is the commodity feedback looping again, even within the AI.
So if we just keep using AI, then there'll be no new information, and then that's where the problems start.
It's pretty fascinating. You can just see the idiocy that will occur.
Yeah, sure. I mean, again, it makes my head hurt.
I know.
Eric Semmel with Tab Computers. Of course, Computer Talk with Tab, 9 to 11 on Saturdays here on WTIC. All right, so give me some password advice, and you cannot include change it often and don't do 0, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, right. I mean, that's actually one of the things is change it often is actually one of the advices that they don't want you to do anymore. They want you to have a nice 12-character password, very long. Maybe we always talk about password phrases. So, like the Red Sox are the best, something like that. A nice phrase, exclamation point, and then some numbers.
How do you know my password? You stole my password.
Heck, you leave your email up right there on the desk, so I don't even need your password. They're saying to leave your password as it is. Obviously, if it shows up on the dark web, you have to change it. The other thing is use a password manager. And the funny thing about the advice that is being given now is they even say use a notepad. They talk about using the electronic password managers to manage all these crazy passwords you're going to come up with. But using simple note cards, guess what? Your note card's not going to get hacked. And do you really need to look at whatever you need to look at while you're driving in the car, you know, down 91? Can it wait for a moment where you go and just bring up the password out of the note card? I think it can, because a lot of the password managers have their own issues as well. But basically 12 characters. Go ahead.
And keep it longer, make it longer, keep it longer, I think is the message. And, you know, it's interesting. I make the joke all the time that, you know, if you want to pass along information now, it's like going back to the Cold War and get smart. Just put it on a piece of paper, let them look at it, and then burn it. You know what I mean? Because everything electronic. Or eat it. We're going to go back to paper ballots. I'm almost sure of it. So that is... But that is a good piece of it. That's actually something I hadn't heard 100 times, so that's good. I like that. This North Korea hacker story, I'm curious. So a company hires somebody, and it turns out that person's a North Korean hacker. Does that mean were they a reformed hacker who was trying to just work, or is it someone who just was hired and then started hacking?
Right. So this company, a security company, just like CrowdStrike, but this is a security company called KnowBefore, hired a North Korean hacker, and they didn't realize that the hacker was using deepfake technologies to actually obfuscate what they look like. So they would be in interviews, and they wouldn't look like a North Korean. They would look like Joe Smo. And they infiltrated all the way through all the hiring processes. KnowBefore hired this North Korean hacker, sent them an Apple Mac, which is what they use at KnowBefore for their computing. And the moment the guy gets on the network, he starts loading up malware on the system. So, of course, the security company's protections caught it. But the point is, be careful when you're hiring through long-distance methods. You may not know who you actually are hiring, and it's becoming more and more a common thing. Even companies are hiring people who are now doing 2 and 3 jobs remotely because they can just get hired and act like they're working. So be careful when you're hiring people. Make sure when you send your devices, you make sure you ask for identification when they pick it up so that they actually look like the person that they thought they were looking at, because you can definitely use technology to make yourself look and sound completely different.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in this case.
It's another notch for the argument of back to in-person work, but also, you know, if you're a company, at least do your onboarding or orientation in person. Do something in person. It's not the full, you know what I mean? Like I mean, I think it's kind of makes a lot of sense. You know, I have to tell you the whole Intel story. I didn't read it, but I will tell you, ask you real quickly here, because Intel used to be the name, only name in chips. Like, it's all we knew. And I look at the stock price and other stuff, and like, what the heck happened to this company?
No kidding. I'm just as disappointed as you are. So we've been Intel fans forever, but it turns out that there's a voltage issue with 13th gen and 14th gen CPUs that is damaging the CPU permanently.
And, what's a CPU?
The actual processor. It's the Intel Core chip. It's the brain of the computer, the central processing unit. And it's being overvoltaged, damaging it permanently. And Intel says, hey, you know, if it breaks it, we don't care. There's a fix coming out in August to address the root cause of the elevated voltage. So the key is here, you have to hope that your 13th or 14th gen processor doesn't do this before the patch comes out, because the patch won't fix it if it gets damaged. Nothing you can do about it, really. Obviously, if it's under warranty, I'm sure you can take care of it at that point. But this is, again, just another little black mark on Intel's trajectory. And with the CHIPS Act, we're all excited to bring manufacturing of chips back to America. And we have these types of problems with the premier chip manufacturer of the U.S., and it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it's quite stunning. And I mean, again, stock prices don't necessarily indicate all successes and failures, but
no,
they certainly haven't been riding the wave like the NVIDIAs of the world. Eric, great stuff. I love the content, and we really appreciate the time. Again, Computer Talk with Tab, Saturdays here on WTIC from 9 to 11. Eric, have a great week.
You too, sir.